Welcome back, all you new you maniacs. Back to the spinner rack here at season 5 of the Marvel New Universe Comics Podcast, the voice of the new universe. We're your hosts.
Andy with Justice number 32 and
And Steven with heavy sigh.
Wait, we already
Yes.
covered that issue.
Yeah, that was a joke.
Oh, I get it. Yeah. PSI sigh. Yeah.
I didn't have time for any creativity this week. The New
Right.
Universe was launched in 1986, an imprint from Marvel Comics dedicated to a more grounded, less fantastic approach to comics. The original idea was the world outside your window, and it included real-time progress. The new universe has changed a lot in its 2.5 years, and we are now well into 1989. The world knows about paranormals, and the US government has been draft capturing and drafting them into the Army and CIA, sometimes firing them. Pittsburgh has been destroyed, forming the Pit and the Trench,
Yeah,
and
we
creating
don't talk
new,
about the trench.
sometimes twisted paranormals. Only one issue remains from the surviving series, and it also seems to be pointing towards war.
On sale now.
With our podcast, you can follow along with us each week as we go through each remaining comic in the order they hit the spinner rack, or just check out individual comics if you already have a favorite. Counting down to the end, 5 comics to go. We have still a number of things over at our website, kickersinc.com, where you can always find us. And you can also find us over on X at Kickers Inc., where we try to update you on the show that's coming out. And birthdays for the paranormals as they were given in books.
All right. We need New Universe birthday cards or like Valentine's or something. That would be fun.
It was Pitbull's birthday posting the other day, and I was like, not having read the war, I don't know if he survives to the end of it. So it was like, happy 67th there, Pitbull, or maybe you're dead. I don't know.
Right. We'll find out. But yeah, this week we get to the end of the line for Justice. Having had his life almost destroyed by a powerful paranormal, John Tennyson dubbed himself Justice and gave himself a mission to travel the land, find other paranormals, and judge whether or not they're using their powers properly. Marvel Age, this issue, Justice 32, last issue special. Captain Brooklyn emerges as the new champion of the city. But what can he do to stop the devastation of New York City? Where's Justice? He's locked in the do or die final battle with Seraph, written by Peter David and illustrated by Lee Weeks, though not really. 32 pages, Mando, direct sales only, $1.50.
There are so many things wrong with that Marvel Age solicit.
Yeah, no, that's not on point. It has the characters correct.
This also fits in with everything else in Justice 32. We will be discussing how happy we are with this ending and where the characters ended up. And otherwise, I guess we'll be focused on this book. For a little future reference, our plan is to go through the War, the 4 issues miniseries, and then we'll give a re couple of recap episodes, one for season 5 and one for the new universe as a whole.
Yeah.
So we'll kind of focus on, wider discussion points, I guess, at that point.
Right. And if this is your first episode of the podcast, maybe go back to the first one.
Don't jump on now. Jeez, too much
Listen
to
to
explain.
then, or go from Justice 32 to Justice 1, and then you'll be really confused. It'll be fun.
Who is this guy?
But yeah, Justice 32, number 32 in a 32 issue limited series. Cover June 1989, though in stores March 14th. Pi Day, 1989. So our cover, I had been looking at this one for a long time and not that closely. It's basically like Justice standing full figure in a purple trench coat, hands in his pockets, just kind of looking sad, maybe a little bit. Like his face isn't sad. Standing on a street. So I was figuring this is him kind of like walking off, like it's over now. Except if you look closely, you can see the shadow of some arms and a scythe. That would be likely the Seraph character from way back when who has the scythe. It's kind of looming behind him in the shadows. So it's a nice Lee Weeks cover.
I
It
had
kind of.
also missed the shadow of Seraph, maybe forever. I don't know, but
Right.
it was only in the last day or two that yeah, I picked that up. Oh, well.
Yeah. But yeah, Big Justice on the cover. Purple trench coat,
Wasn't he
class.
fighting Seraph on the cover of the last issue?
Right, which didn't happen.
It's
I'm like, oh,
okay.
we gotta use this cover, man. Like, just we're rolling with it. So yeah, if we open it up, the creative team's a little interesting. So obviously, Peter David stuck with us since the reboot. Alan Kupperberg is actually doing the pencils, not Lee Weeks, which was sort of the regular guy. And then we have four inkers, which is not a great omen: Gustavich, Don Hudson, Chris Ivey, and Alan Kupperberg. So I mean, they didn't go with the Jack Fury here, but that's kind of the vibe I'm getting. And the colorist is Don't Ask. Did you catch that?
I liked that, although the coloring honestly was the I didn't have any issues with this
The
issue.
coloring is fine, yeah.
It's amazingly did fine. The inkers, yeah, it's a in many ways, a callback to the early days of the new you, where things are kind of put together in the Jack Fury,
Right.
whoever's in the bullpen, please finish this up for me. I got to get it out. I
Yeah.
did look up Alan Kupperberg. Do you remember? Some,
The
he
name's
has
familiar, but it's been a while.
he was doing some mostly early work in the new universe, and I'm actually surprised by how many books issues he did. Mark Hazard Merc number 3 and 4. Okay, that was a problem. Spitfire number 7, 8, and 9. Those were
Oh,
pretty fine, I
yeah.
thought. Kickers number 9. That was okay.
Yeah.
And Psi-Force 27, the first issue of the Siberian Project. It's a little
Okay.
rough too, I
Yeah.
thought. So
Just give the man some regular work, right? Like, give him some time and let him finish a book.
I can only assume, yeah, do a little more time and schedule, and this would have been okay, even with the like non-regular penciler. Anyway.
Yeah. So last we left, right? So most of the NSC crew, so Chauncey and Rudy and Miriam Playback, got kidnapped in, oh shoot, Coney Island, sorry, it's blanking, by the Forsaken, and have been put on trial by Heavysigh. Judgmental. And Justice is slowly making his way back to sort of help rescue them, I suppose, right? So, Angela was stowing away, right? So that was what we got. So there was no action last time. It was just a lot of like setting up for this issue. So yeah, we'll pick it right up. No splash page to start. We start with Kleenex. Basically, heading out to lunch, talking to Updike, and he walks out of the NSC thinking, Updike's got a lot on his, and he starts sneezing. So he's walked past a guy who was walking into the NSC and sneezed. He's like, ah, great. The guy who just went past me must be paranoid. Ah, to heck with it. I'm getting some lunch. So he just ignores the guy going in. Could be important there. Funny, you see Updike watching out the window. So I should have told Kleenex to get me a BLT. Somehow, though, with Chauncey, Rudy, and Miriam missing, food isn't my main concern. Okay. So the guy, the paranormal who walks in, walks up to their sort of front reception desk, which I mean, I can't imagine that even exists now as a thing. Like just walk in and talk to the secretary at the NSC, but
This is a much grander building and entrance than we've seen before, but
yeah,
okay.
it feels like a classic movie thing. Yeah, like wasn't it just that they're like pulling the guy in through the door, like just like the classic door.
It was like a townhouse a couple issues
Yeah.
ago, but I don't know. Yeah, the suddenly it's a nice upscale office building. I
Yeah.
wonder, yeah, if you go to the CIA headquarters, what it's like. I imagine it's not too different from like most big office buildings now, where there's a ton of guards that'll not let you go anywhere.
Right. Well, maybe they changed buildings since then. But anyway, the guy walks in and says, "Hi, my name's Impact, and I have a really great paranormal power. Can I join the NSC? Can I, huh? Can I? Can I? Can I?" So, like, this guy's a little off or up to something. He's like, "Sir, we've got hundreds of people claiming to be paranormals. I'm afraid you'll have to give me a demonstration before we can proceed." He says, "Okie doke, turn the page," which is a fantastic turn page. And you get this little window of him basically like trust falling himself backwards, and then a huge explosion with like, you know, the whole front of the building gone and like cars flying. So like a huge kablam. It took me a while to figure it out, but you know, from when I was reading it, but then it cuts to Kleenex across the street in the diner, like deli, and like the blast's like blowing out the windows with him. He's like, "Oh, across the street, someone blew up the NSC. The second the glass stops flying, I gotta help." So he kind of runs up to the rubble, looking for Updike, hoping to find him. And he sees the paranormal guy just kind of sitting there in the rubble, saying, "Am I in? Am I? Am I? Am I?" So the guy's a little messed up. I missed his name in the beginning, that he calls himself Impact. And in my notes, I had written CTE nitroglycerin guy, which seemed about right. We get a little more on him later.
Yeah, this is I don't know, years before Oklahoma City, so
You want to do the very last title card there
it's
on
so
page three?
tiny, is weird. It's
It's a
like
little sad.
font size 9, you know. You're like, it's a little larger, but okay. I am justice.
Followed up with, "When I was a child, my parents brought me to Coney Island as part of a vacation."
When I was a child, yeah.
It's like, "Now I'm bringing my child here under different circumstances." It's still pretty early, right? Like, we didn't have a date on this one, but presumably it's around March, driving with the top down on the highway with the convertible.
Think he's still back in like October, like
Is it
the
that far back?
Siberian Project ends. He gets off the plane, and
Yeah.
he's like, maybe tomorrow.
Yeah, I could give a warm October day might be
Yeah.
okay. But yeah, so he's
Justice.
driving to Coney Island. You see kind of like the sign and the Ferris wheel and the ocean in the background. The title of the book being "The Big Goodbye," yeah, on the nose.
That was so I looked that up. I know it's like a it's meant to be like a Raymond Chandler title or something, The Big Sleep or The Long
Right.
Goodbye. But there's that's actually the title of the Star Trek Next Generation episode with the holodeck,
Oh,
where
okay.
he's like a detective or something.
Would that have been before this or after this? Next Gen
It's
feels
close.
90s to me, but I don't know.
It feels like it should be a year or two later, but it could honestly go either way.
Yeah. So we turn the page to back to Coney Island with the Forsaken, this group of oddball paranormals with Judgmental, and we get to a building, Coney Island Baths. It's like, is this the bathroom? Is it something? A bathhouse?
Bathhouse, yeah, I don't know. I thought there must be like a place to wash up from the beach or
The
something. I
sand or
don't really know much
something,
of it, yeah.
yeah. But the judge is there with Chauncey, Rudy, and Playback. He's like, "I am Judgmental," which, okay, you just introduced yourself last issue. "And you are on trial as enemies of the Forsaken. Do you have anything to say in your defense?" Basically, they were just walking. But anyway, They all make like the cat joke faces from before. It was like, what does the cat look like before it gets hit by a car kind of thing. I don't remember the joke exactly. This trips off like the big-eared guy, Dumbo. It's like, they're making those stupid faces again. It's like, ah, contempt of court, Seraph. Kill one of them, your choice. Like, oof, okay. So there's a big jump there between like they're not really taking things seriously and kind of just acting goofy as even though they're captured by all these paranormals. It's just like kill one. So Seraph walks up with his scythe. It's my pleasure. And then we get a have no fear, citizens, from off panel. And then next page, Captain Brooklyn is here. If you don't have it in front of you, of course, Captain Brooklyn is dressed in kind of like Superman style superhero outfit, but with more of like a covering the head mask. It's a big beefy guy. It looks like he wrote Captain Brooklyn on his chest with a pen. Says,
It's, yeah.
don't worry, citizens. Now that I've tracked down these miscreants, you'll be s safe as the driven snow. It's like, oh, you're very poetic, Captain Brooklyn. So he's kind of standing there confidently, like, get him. And like, he picks up two guys, kind of slams them together. It's like, with my super strength and steel hard skin, it is to laugh. Ha ha ha. So the guy throws a fireball at him and it kind of bounces off. And he's like, come quietly, or be forced to do, or I'll be forced to do you injury. Judge is like, Seraph, get rid of this idiot. So they kind of walk up to each other. He's like, I'm ready for a fair fight anytime. And then it gets a little grisly, but in like cartoony grisly. I don't know. This one kind of bothers me. Seraph's like, pity, it won't be a fair fight. So he like grabs his cape, pulls it over his head so he can't see, and then stabs him right in the chest with his scythe, which is like this funky energy scythe, cuts through even Justice's shields kind of thing. And Brooklyn's just kind of standing there in disbelief. He's like, I'm bleeding inside. My skin is steel hard. How did you? And Seraph is like, dog o' war, if you'd be so kind. And this weird dog face dude, who we get to see a little more of later, hands him a grenade. And so Seraph takes the grenade, walks up to Brooklyn, stuffs it in his mouth, closes his mouth over the grenade, and forces it to explode. So it's like, oh jeez. It's like, your skin might be steel hard, but since my scythe cuts steel, it's hardly a fair test. I hope you like pineapples, like the nickname for the grenade pineapple thing. But yeah, it's kind of gross. He just kind of like holds his mouth shut, puts him in a headlock. Captain Brooklyn's not really defending himself at this point. And then you get a cartoonish, like he blows up into a ball, like a beach ball, as in like his skin is steel hard, but the rest of him is exploded. And then he kind of folds into a pile of loose skin that looks unhurt, but obviously his insides are gone. And like, it's not very world outside your windowy.
Yeah, the
Again.
explosion version is like Bouncing Boy from the Legion of Superheroes. It's just
Yeah.
a sphere.
Right.
And then I don't even know what that is. It's like what we call a skin suit now, I guess. Like
Yeah.
you just every just the outer part of you is left. Yeah, it's like surprisingly dark. I mean,
It's like
darker than it needed to
goofy
be.
and then dark and then goofy and like the judge is clapping. Oh shoot, I didn't put down the name of the semi-invisible woman.
Silhouette.
Silhouette, thank you. But she kind of like goes running out of the room gagging. It's like dog of war, fireballer, kindly dispose of the late captain. So they pick up his skin. Well, it's his outfit, like he's not naked or something. It's like, stay loose, horny toad. Old Cap here does. And then the toad guy says, thanks, Oral. Which leads you to think that Dog of War's name is Oral, but then Dog of War calls someone else Oral later. And so it's all messed up.
Just when I think I've like gone too far with the details, Andy
Right?
gets the rest of the details.
Yeah.
Yes, who is Oral? I don't know.
Somebody's Oral. Could be
One of
Fireballer, it could be Dog of War.
possibly both.
But the judge ends with, "Now then, tell me everything there is to know about justice." And then reminder, of course, the judge was kind of after justice. He was the one that sent Quill to try and kill him. He was maybe at this point one of the more normal of his group.
Yeah, last issue we saw there was a woman who could tell the future, so there was some reason for them to attack Justice, although we haven't really gotten a specific
Yeah, they said it
thing from
like it
them.
was, they weren't sure how it was going to end because there was some sort of monkey wrench in that fortune, and then they kind of cut to like Captain Brooklyn, like he is the difference maker, but then he dies in like a panel, so like it's I'm not sure we ever get like closure on that. Also, that character doesn't show up again,
That's
best I can
also, yeah,
tell.
good.
So nice work.
Well, you have a character who can tell the future, you're not going to bring that sort of. Might be interesting. So. No, okay.
Yeah, we get a couple panels of Kleenex and Updike's in the hospital. He apparently survived. That's a rough one, but I suppose it's possible. In the end of that, Kleenex is thinking to himself, "I wish Angela were here. Boy, life's a beach," which is kind of a forced segue into the next page, which is Dog O' War. Again, dog-faced guy. Kind of dressed a little bit Civil War reenactor, I suppose, with the hat.
Please, war against Northern aggression. Dog of War is proud son of the South, and he doesn't want to hear your anti-Lee propaganda. Anyway.
Fireballer are digging a grave in the sand for Captain Brooklyn.
Is sand really where you should be digging a grave? That seems like it.
Yeah, geez. But we get Fireballer off panel. He's like, "Hey, I didn't ask for this. Why, if I'd been pitching, the Mets would have never been the 88 champs. There's no," it's like, so like some baseball, dated baseball reference. He's like, "There's no," and then Justice is above them on the boardwalk, and it finishes their sentence, "Justice." Like, it's him. Dog of War leaps 15 feet into the air to get at Justice. Kind of grabs him by the collar and holds a gun on him. And Justice kind of does like a suplex, kind of flip him over the back of his head. Like the big muscle dudes in Double Dragon, if that's not too obscure of a reference, kind of tosses him over the back. Justice thinking to himself, "Notoriety can be such a hardship. Almost as much of a hardship as knocking oneself out against my shields." So Dog O' War goes, who had a gun, must have lost it. Then he goes charging at Justice, like head on, but runs straight into the shields. Fireballer is down there wondering what's going on. "Dog, you okay? Can you handle it? Or do you need?" And Justice tosses Doggo all the way off the boardwalk, slamming into Fireballer and just kind of piling on top of him. It's like, "Trying to catch him is a noble effort, futile and stupid perhaps, but noble." And then the Angela's there, so she pulls up and basically pulls a gun on Fireballer. "Don't move. Dad said this 22 is a girl's gun, but I bet it'll still kill you up close." So, I mean, yeah, that's fair. And Justice jumps down again from like the 15, 20-foot boardwalk, no problem. It's like, "Angela performs the tough broad act quite well." It's like, when is Justice getting a little sexist here? Like, this feels new. He's like, "Or is it an act?"
Bill is like 18. How tough is she gonna sound? I don't
Right.
know.
She did have a little bit of training, like,
That's true.
for the like 2 days getting out of the coma to now kind of thing. So the justice tries interrogating the guy. "I'm looking for three people. I suspect you know where they might be found." Fireballer is not having it. He's like, "You can look for them in Hades," and he kind of lights his hands on fire, which I guess is sort of his ability. But justice just kind of kicks the fire out and kicks him in the head and knocks him unconscious, thus forcing Angela to use her reviving things from the dead power on Captain Brooklyn. Ugh. She's like, "No, Dad, please. When I bring them back, I put something of myself in them, like the match that lights the pilot light." With Figaro, which was the cat, which kept springing back to life, it was warm, gentle, but people, it's terrifying. She's like, "Angie, you have no choice. I won't insist, but..." She's like, "Yes, you will." So again, it's just like this flat, blob of fleshy Captain Brooklyn. So she kind of walks up to it. He's like, "Dad, at least don't watch. This is personal." So again, kind of like a weird grisly thing, and the physics of how this flat thing with no air in it is going to then speak, questionable. No muscles, no lungs, no diaphragm. Come on, new universe.
It's basically yeah, Captain Brooklyn balloon that's been deflated is
Right.
what it is, yeah. So
Thankfully,
yeah,
we don't.
I mean, this honestly doesn't jibe with the depiction of the her power that we'd seen before, which was just the one time to defend herself from Quill, but
Right.
okay.
Anyway, so she gets something from him, kind of sort of off panel, and it's like, "All right, I'll let you go now. The Scythe guy from Pit Aid, Dad, he killed Cap, Captain Brooklyn, over in the bathhouses. And Dad, Cap said someone has to carry on his fight, to fight for New York, people everywhere, if you can buy that." Maybe that becomes important. Justice with his, I mean, it really doesn't even look like justice at all. But some character, some guy resembling Justice says, "I didn't even understand. I didn't understand a thing he said,"
Is
which is,
that Megan Rapinoe? I don't know. The soccer
yeah,
player
like the soccer
woman.
player, yeah,
Yeah.
the hair, yeah. Ugh. Anyway, I'm exhausted already. Cut back to the judge, who's hasn't gotten much useful out of the rest of them. So he comes to like Chauncey. He's like, "What about you, Mr. Chauncey? Come now, sir. Why so tight-lipped? Is it because you value your defunct career as an agent of the NSC Paranormal Division?" Defunct being the operative word. It's like, "What do you mean, defunct?" It's like, and he explains about the explosive guys. "We had a somewhat unstable member of the Forsaken. An explosive charge would build up within him over several days and be triggered upon any violent shock." It's my nitroglycerin thing. So as one would expect, his brain was somewhat scrambled. So yeah, early CTE for paranormals. So again, a little bit of realism and a whole lot of not realism. It's all mixed up. So he kind of fills him in on the destruction of the NSC as guy with four eyes, like front, back, side of head. Who's like, come on, like there's nothing you can do but be the watch guy. Sees Justice and Angie coming. He's like, "He's coming, tell the judge." "Who is Four Eyes?" Like our creative name, buddy. It's like, "Justice, don't you have eyes? Hurry, hurry." So,
Birdman runs the other way.
right. Anyway, so Chauncey kind of makes a rush at the judge, but Judge blasts him with mental powers, a lot like the Sergeant Haldeman from The Draft. Like he can just like cripple him with horrible images and stuff like that. There's a ton of like background paranormals, guys with weird kind of mutated or animal faces and stuff. But essentially, he sends a bunch of them out to go meet Justice and bring him back. So, Justice and Angela are just walking alone on the boardwalk. And they can see this like horde of paranormals descending on them. And she's like, "Daddy, run." He's like, "Run on a lovely day like this?" He's just super playing it cool. Like, it's like, what an obscene thought. Thinking they surround us, uttering grunts and hisses, threats and obscenities. Oh, not obscenities. But I see no reason to be impolite. So they surround him, and he's like, "May I help you?" He's like, "You come with us, judgmental's orders. If you resist, we'll kill you." It's like, "You don't say, then I'd better come quietly, hadn't I?" Silhouettes there, and again, she's sort of the gag is she's naked, though, you don't see detailed parts, and he jokes with her, "Aren't you cold, young woman?" He's like, "Never mind that, just put your hands where we can see him." And the big ears guy Dumbo is like, no, he's got to keep his hands in his pockets. That's how he kills people, by taking his hand out and pointing. So, like, yeah, thinks he's doing something good there. But anyway, he remembers Angela from Pit Aid, and they kind of march them back in, or like towards the Ferris wheel, I suppose, to see the judge and Sarah for and the horny toad, cringy name, all kind of waiting there for him. Oh, so yeah, they stand off, and Judgmental is like, talks about how justice judges the paranormals, and he's got a problem with that. He says, "Well, I am a judge as well, judgmental," which he loves to keep telling us. He's like, "Now that you're here, we shall deliberate." It's like, okay, no final battle. We're just gonna talk it out. She's like, "That we shall, with deliberate speed, as soon as I've seen my people." Again, Justice is just kind of standing there casually, hands in pockets the whole time. He's like, "This is my court. I make the rules. I've set up a stupid supervillain trap and have your people in the top of the Ferris wheel for some reason."
His costume too. It's I don't know. It's like Star Brand's motorcycle jacket overlaid with Doctor Doom's cloak. I don't
Right. And sleeveless, though, too. So.
that somehow sleeveless.
Yeah, that's an odd one. We get a quick clip of Rudy and the gang up in there, and they're like, "Rudy, can you make your earthquake power work from a long distance?" I'm like, "No, sorry, I'm totally useless. I can never do anything helpful." He's like, "Yeah, if he can see it, he can shake it." And he's like, "Well, get ready." Judge, heavy sigh. Now I'm doing your job as the heavy sighs here. He's like, "Now then, this court is called to order. I shall judge you and then sentence you to death." He's like, "I see." It's like, "Do you really see justice?"
Are we gonna quote Lewis Carroll here again
Oh,
for the
God.
fifth time?
It's like, "You've only brought misery to paranormals. The judges were." Oh, this is Seraph, sorry. He's like, "Don't you see, justice? You've only brought misery. The judge here has worked to help them. He's the saint. You're the sinner. Race Bannon or whatever you are." He's like, I see a great deal. You've changed since our last encounter." And he said something, potentially meaningful here. He's like, "I've grown tired of judging whether paranormals use their powers correctly or not. I've come to care more for the people than for their powers." Okay. I'm not sure that that's happened ever, but we'll see. He's like, "You throw yourself on the mercy of the court?" He's like, "No, not at all. Your rulings don't bind me." "Then you were a fool."
All right, justice comes out as a sovereign citizen. You can't pull me over, man. I never bought into your fiat money and your Fed reserve. I don't.
Next thing you'll be like, "You can't give me a ticket because I pay your salary with my taxes," or something. So anyway, a couple of empty threats. He kind of the judge starts explaining his powers and how powerful he is and how he's even suppressing Justice's ability to use his powers, interestingly enough. And Justice is kind of
Wait, my
weak.
shields can stop psionic things. We
Yeah,
that's the
no, that was in a
catch.
different comic.
Dang, dang. How's he gonna get out of it then?
Justice says, "Can you discern unprojected thoughts?" And like, "What do you mean?" It's like they're deliberating. It's like, "Can you read minds? Simply read minds?" It's like, "Well, no, not really." And then we get a blam, and the judge falls over with a bloody chest. Justice has shot him, killed him with a standard gun, holding it in the trench coat, like the guy pretending to have a gun robbing the bank kind of trick. So I think this is post. This has got to be post Indiana Jones, right? Where like the guy swings all the knives and screams at him, then he just pulls out the gun and
Oh,
caps
yeah.
him, right? So it's a lot like that. He's like, "Ah, then
Indiana
you don't know
Jones.
about the gun in my pocket I took from your dog." So it's kind of a weird end to Justice. Kind of clever, but also a little strange. Seraph comes at him. The gun starts shooting spitballs for some reason, blocked by the scythe. It's just like a weird artistic choice.
He doesn't take it out of his pocket, weirdly enough,
Yeah,
also.
he's really jamming on the pocket firing thing rather than like holding the gun and aiming. But the battle begins. Page 17. At least we have a fight this time, I suppose.
I didn't count out the pages, but okay. That's okay.
Well, so yeah, they jaw at each other while swinging. Honestly, the fight scenes are a little hard to follow, just artistically, like what's going on. So it takes some effort to kind of dig into it. But Seraph swings. Do you have you animal? Do you have any idea what you've done? Justin's like, I've annoyed you. That alone was worth the price of admission. So again with the one-liners, Justice starts kind of walking his way up his shields, kind of like taking the high ground up roughly towards the Ferris wheel. Rudy starts earthquaking, but it really doesn't seem to affect anything or anyone in any significant way.
Oh, I think we'd gone past it, but there was like when they were killing Captain Brooklyn, I think Rudy was using his power. Odd time for an earthquake, but it won't help you now. Everyone just kind of like ignores it.
It just does nothing. Yeah, there's a little rumble on the page. Horny
But yeah.
Toad starts to jump at him, but Angela kind of grabs him. So we've like concurrent fights, Horny Toad v. Angela, the battle of the century you were expecting all along, and Justice versus Seraph. She tackles him by the legs, but he like punches her in the face, and then like a panel which I don't understand, but punches her again, and then she kind of runs away.
Perspective on that is bizarre.
It's really bizarre.
Forced perspective, that's what we call
Forced perspective.
it.
Dumbo and Horny Toad just kind of chase after her. It's like, this is where Miss Perfect Pants gets hers. It's like, I don't
I
know what
wrote that down as Angela's new superpower name.
Miss Perfect Pants.
Miss Perfect Pants. Justice. She is Miss Perfect Pants. She's my daughter. We fight crime or something. I don't know. Anyway, the
What's
next panel is even.
okay, so this next panel is really bizarre. Like presumably it's like the paranormal standing around the dead judge, deciding what to do. Like, should we go help Seraph, or maybe they didn't really like him that much. But the Joker's head is right there in the corner, which I was assuming was just like supposed to be part of like the carnival decorations. Because they're in like Coney Island, but then you pointed out that Lex Luthor is right there.
Yeah, it's that's the Luthor that was in the late 80s Crisis reboot. So yeah, I don't know. The Joker, you're right, it looks like a decoration, but I don't know, an homage to the Killing Joke or something. I don't know.
They just forget what comic book they were drawing, like.
I'll say that Kupperberg did DC as well as Marvel pretty evenly. But again, this is like obviously rushed work, and like to take the time to do like a little in joke. I'm guessing this was like in the script,
Yeah, it could
throw in
be.
some recognizable dudes for.
Yeah, the blue outfit with the collar, I don't not recognize, but it looks like it should be something.
I mean that it looks like honestly like Legion of Superheroes or maybe the like enemies from that. I don't
Anyway, so like Seraph, I
know.
guess, swings and breaks up Justice's shields that he's standing on, is the best I can figure out for this next one, which causes him to fall. But then he falls like on a random paranormal. He finally uses his sword, like his beam attack, but it misses Seraph and then kind of rushes him and bumps into him while the guy's swinging. Again, like the action's a little rough here. We cut to the two guys pursuing Angie. Again, I forget the, do you have the real name of the Dembo character?
It was James.
James
I
or
think
something
that's how
like
we know
that.
him.
He didn't really get a paranormal name. They're looking around. It's like, we lost sight of her. Don't worry. My super sensitive ears will hear her wherever she is. And then, of course, she found symbols somewhere. Maybe in the Joker's like Cartoon Hideout? Was it like Dick Sprang or something like that? Like the just, let me hit this giant xylophone, that'll take care of him. Ugh. So she
Okay,
jumps
sure,
out
why
and
not?
clangs the cymbals and then punches Horny Toad. Again, goofy, ridiculous, but then slight realism where she's like, ow, it looks so easy on TV. It's like her hand hurts from punching the guy. He's like, I'll brick cut you out. So like a lot of different cuts between the fights. Justice again kind of firing at Seraph, who has the same sort of jumping ability as Doggo War apparently, and just kind of jumps out of the way all the time. Chauncey for some reason wants to kick the door out of the Ferris wheel.
The
Though they're
idea
like,
is that they're getting, when they get close enough to the ground,
oh,
they
I see.
can
Yeah,
kick
they're
them.
almost ground level, so they're trying to kick it. But then Seraph shows up in front of them, and then something happens. So, like, he swings, and their thing starts careening. As he must have sliced one of the support struts. I'm presuming, like, on that one particular basket from the Ferris wheel. I don't know.
I
It
was
gets a little
thinking
messy.
those big red beams we see there, but I
Yeah,
don't
like it shows those, and then it shows a slash, and then
know.
later
Right,
on they
that
damage the beams, but I don't know.
it is kind of like he's tracking on the top of the gondola. So you may be right, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
Trying to get like a 3D image of, in your head of what's going on here is like
challenging.
beyond the
So yeah, so I like this part too. Is like, you know, Justice keeps firing away, and Seraph's scythe again, you know, has kind of the ability to like block or absorb the energy from Justice's sword. We saw that at Pit Aid, and so he's like, "Forget it, Justice. Any blast of yours, I can absorb in return." So like, Justice is still stopping him with his shields, and he says, "With interest." So he says, okay, forget it, Justice. I can block and absorb any of your blasts. He runs at him, and then Justice blasts him straight in the chest. So it's like, maybe he's talking a big game there. Just assuming he would stop trying to shoot him. So anyway, they fight, you know, Seraph dodges a few times, you know, it's like, and then the blasted scythe leaps to his hand like the hammer of the mystical thunder god, Thor. So he can also kind of launch and call back his scythe. He's like, I switched to the shield, bracing for the return of the blast that he had just absorbed. But then Seraph does blast the strut of the Wonder Wheel, the big Ferris wheel. And so then the thing is kind of tottering on the brink a little bit, though again, we just get a little bit of shaky lines. It's like it lists slightly and then stays steady, but grinds to a halt, so it stops spinning around with Miriam, Chauncey, and Rudy trapped up top.
I looked this up. This thing's about the Wonder Wheel is about 150 feet tall, so it's
It's
quite a
big,
thing.
though they get the scale a little funky at times.
Yeah, I don't. This is the pictures I found online don't really match this too well. So.
Yeah.
Okay. And
Angela
then the
kind of,
Hulk attacks.
right, the Hulk, the mental defective Hulk. So yeah, the Horny Toad, I just cringe saying it even. Yeah, Angela kind of baits him into, he can sling his tongue really far, but it ends up getting wrapped around the horse of the carousel and then just kind of drags him along, thus defeating him forever.
And everybody clapped.
Like, I shouldn't
Yay,
enjoy watching him
Angela.
get dragged around by his tongue, and I'll stop any minute now. So, okay.
I don't know why this picture of Angela looks familiar to me, like a I don't know, like
Yeah, it's tough to
it's a
say.
good portrait, I don't know.
Yeah, we clearly see the effects of many inkers here, because it's like Justice goes from like looking like nothing like Justice to looking like a Mike Allred drawing to like it's just all over the place.
I
But
gotta
anyway,
say that Horny Toad's tongue at the bottom of 22, like, well, more like the attachment into his mouth.
Yeah.
I just couldn't, at that point.
It's something.
No.
It's something. I like that he
I
has
don't know.
a green outfit too. Like he knows his motif and he's sticking with it. Oh. So like Justice starts again, does the shield stepping stone trick to get himself up to the top of the Wonder Wheel, but then Seraph is following behind him on those same shields. Justice is like, your beloved judge was a madman. The two of you were made for each other. And Seraph is, I was made for death. Die, Justice. And so he actually hits him this time and kind of slices his back through his coat with the scythe, having thrown it, which, again, I don't know. Not sure how the physics of that works. And then that causes Justice to lose his shields, and then they both kind of fall and have to catch themselves on all the metal scaffolding. So like this is super like trying to be the climax to like an 80s action movie kind of thing, like fighting at the construction site and we're barely hanging on, and your daughter's there and at risk and stuff with the side goons. It's like the pain is overwhelming. A fraction of an inch, he'd have severed my spine. My groans are drowned out by the groan of metal. The gondola that my friends. And then he stops to ponder as he's hanging. Friends? Do I have friends? Oh. Gotta help them. Help my friends. Seraph gets there first. He's like, too late, Justice. And so Seraph is above, and the gondola with the rest of the squad is breaking loose. Justice kind of holds it with his shields. Again, he's kind of in pain, hanging on there. Again, this is all like, I mean, I feel like I'm describing it better than I see it sometimes because it's like it's really kind of hard to follow.
That
But he's
mental
holding.
picture you get from Andy's description is much better.
I'm trying. So Justice is holding the thing with his shields, and he's hurt. He's taking all of his effort. But then Seraph launches his scythe again, like his kind of boomerang scythe, and Justice is like, I blast back desperately, praying to my maker, praying to the ultimate judge. And then that bounces Seraph's scythe back at him. And so he's momentarily out of control, steps back to avoid the cutting edge, and then treads air, he screams. So basically he like surprised him by sending back the scythe, and then he fell and screaming on the way down. It's like, no, I'll beat you yet. It's like he tries to snag the Ferris wheel with his scythe, and his blade, as it's supposed to, cuts through. So yeah, instead of hanging on, it cuts through. And Justice is like, he's granted his final wish. He beat me. He beat me to the ground.
Oh,
Ooh.
burn and get some
Jesus.
ice for that.
And then having just barely survived, the squad gets out of the gun. It's like, now that's an e-ticket attraction. I was like, shut up, Rudy. And she's like, Daddy, and they
It's a
hug.
reference to Disneyland from many, many years ago.
Oh, I didn't get that, so
Oh, they used to divide up the, like you'd buy a book of, tickets to individual rides when you got in, and like that they were A to E, or based on how desirable they were. So you only get like two chances to do this or that. So
yeah.
anyway, it became like a saying, but yeah,
Yeah, all
no
right.
one recognizes it anymore.
No, it's been a little while, so. Another less DC Comics oriented squad of paranormals is standing around the corpse of the judge now. And they're like, well, what do we do? Seraph and the judge are dead. What happens to us? We don't want to leave here. The world treated us like freaks. What do we do? What do we do? A brief conversation with Justice and Chauncey. He's like, thanks for saving our skins. I really owe you. Now, come on, we have to get back to DC fast. And he's like, well, let's talk about that. And remember, you owe me. It's like, oh, I wasn't expecting you to call it in that fast. And so we get I talk, Chauncey listens. A week later, we get a full page of not quite resolution on the Angela Kleenex relationship. Basically, they chat a little bit. Still not really sure what's going to happen to Updike. Or with the NSC. And, since nobody really knows, New York's emptying out thanks to the ash from the pit.
So is DC, because they moved the capital to Denver.
No, we don't, that was in a different book.
Possibly like several months later, actually, but yeah.
And it gets kind of interesting. So, like, she's like some future shadowing that we'll never quite get. And she's like, I know, it makes foraging easy, especially for canned goods. Like they're looting buildings. Like, is it that bad? She's like, only two problems. Judgmental's body seems to have disappeared. Maybe he wasn't really dead. Groan.
Come on.
Right.
Come on.
And there's rover packs all over.
This seems, I mean, something like the War Dogs with the pit
Yeah.
bull around the pit.
But this is such a specific name that it throws me off. I'm assuming roving bands of paranormal troublemakers, like the Skeevos or something. Like, come on. Reference your books.
Yeah.
It's like it's
Yeah,
getting
and even the
ugly.
spelling of it's a little weird. I mean,
Yeah.
I'm
Roverpaks. It's like the world stopped caring, but packs that come out here kind of vanish. Word's getting around to stay clear of Coney Island. It's not a bad life. It's not a bad life scrounging for canned goods in Coney Island when you could like move to Wisconsin or something.
I've got Google tells and its AI thing tells me that rover packs are small groups of enemies and their killer dogs in a story called A Boy and His Dog. It's like a
Oh yeah.
post-apocalyptic thing.
That movie was interesting, but terrible.
Everyone. The term rover pack is used to describe a specific type of human who needs to be in a gang.
All
Interesting.
right. Dang.
Obscure reference there, Peter David. Thanks.
Good job, Internet. So it's like, so you're staying, Angela? He's like, I was hoping you would too. And she kisses him. And he jokes then, like not like this was his dream all along. But he's like, geez, I can breathe. Quick, heal me some more. And she's like, you're full of it. So they're kissing, and then we get like justice creeping on him from the window up above. He's like, ah, youth. And someone says, Your Honor, there are several disputes that need settling. Your guidance is requested. This is coming. And I got
Peter, Peter.
justice in a brand new fruity looking purple outfit, I would say. Like it's got like some like purple shoulder things and it's more white to it. It's like, oh, this is so cringe. All rise. The court is in session. The Honorable Justice Tenzin presiding. They look at me, and in their eyes, I see hope, need, a plea for fairness. But no fear. Finally, I am home. Next case, he says out loud. And that's it.
There's no the end.
Yeah, we don't get a nice little the end thing. I mean, obviously it's a closure thing. Like he's found his home and now he's like the king hearing the grievances and like, okay, you can have this plot of land. Your neighbor shouldn't have stole it and he gets lashed three times or something. But
I guess
you can kind of tell my approval rating on that, but
he's yeah, the Angela's saying something about these rover packs have started to vanish, and so they're steering clear of Coney Island now. So
yeah, I was
he's
assuming
defending them and
they're either being
charging.
absorbed, like the paranormals are staying with them, or they're just killing all the rover packs. But I
Either
don't
way, it's fine.
know. It's a kindler, gentler justice that doesn't really seem to vaporize anybody anymore. So
It's been a while, yeah.
it's been a while.
Yeah, so we get no letters page, no like
No.
goodbye from the creative team or
No. No written.
editorial. They've said their piece. No one's promising to, please write in more some mail and we'll send you a postcard.
Yeah, no, we're gonna see some Justice graphic novels from Peter David in the future. Nothing.
Let's Yeah, as you pointed out, okay, we've got Moon Knight ad.
Yep.
There's a new What If series coming, a
Yeah.
new Doctor Strange series coming. These are full page ads for each. And we've got Atlantis Attacks is coming this summer. And that is actually a full page and then also the back page.
Right. Double the Atlantis attacks.
We want to make sure you didn't miss that Atlantis is attacking.
Was that a big event? I guess it crossed through the annuals, but like Atlantis just makes me think Aquaman rather than anything Marvel, but.
It's there was like something, the Serpent Crown is a thing in Marvel. I don't know much about it. I don't know. I know there's like a collection of it on Comixology or something. I think I put it on my wish list, and then like every time I like, should I get that? No. Okay.
Does the koi fish on the bottom right have like a weird face on it, or is it just me?
Yeah, that's more like a medieval thing. There's something on top too. Yeah. They both look like sea monsters from a medieval manuscript.
Well, what'd you think of this issue?
Wow, this was perfect. This was
Exactly what we wanted to see.
ironically perfect because it summarizes the new universe so well. You have
Oh.
like a rush job, you've got like 50 guys like on the creative team. You've got a bunch of loose ends that didn't come together in the least. A
Yeah.
story that's hard to follow, art that sinks the writing quality. Weird,
Yeah.
you know,
It feels like
attempts at
Justice.
realism, but
Yeah. It feels like Justice hasn't had like a real meaning to him since like that Psi-Force issue, like when he was doing the Psi-Force stuff and kind of like coming to terms with judging them or letting them go. Like even though he got weird extra psychic powers then or something, it was like that felt like something. Whereas here, he's just kind of like walking around all smug and then shoots a guy with a gun and then has a fight. Like, there's not a lot of, like, I feel like there should have been more, at least a couple little bits of like his mental journey. Like, we get a little clip. He's like, I'm for the people now. Like, I'm not out to judge paranormals. I'm trying to be more helpful. But, like, I get they were trying to go for that. But then. It just doesn't hit right. And then the whole like Captain Brooklyn is like, oh, you must continue my dream of helping the people of New York, even though we've never met and I'm dead.
Captain Brooklyn,
Totally pointless.
I don't know what we're thinking with that. Yeah, the prophecy from last issue was saying there would be a random element, and we didn't know, is that Captain Brooklyn or maybe Angela coming is also, because you know who's to say that was part of the original vision they had. They never we never really got much to know much of about the Forsaken, except that they had like two crazy people in charge of them,
Yeah, it seemed like
Seraphim and
last
Jim.
issue was like all like, all right, we're gonna set up the Forsaken, like a little bit about all these characters, and then this issue they just throw a bunch of random new ones at us. It's like, do we need Dog O' War? Like, I don't think so.
I am honestly, I really expected something from Silhouette, the naked girl.
Yeah, do
Like I
something.
thought, like she would, you know, help justice or do, you know, make some decisive, you know, do something, or even just charm justice. I don't know. Well, looking at this
Right?
girl, naked girl, I can't leave anymore. I've decided to stay here. Nothing. She has like one line.
Right.
The augur who could see the future isn't even here.
No.
There were more names last issue that we didn't see, and I don't think they're here.
No.
Everyone looks like, yeah, mutants. Yeah, it's rough. It's rough. I don't know. The whole thing, you know, you count up Peter David's run from 16 or so, and you've got kind of an arc that he is kind of trying to tell, because Seraph comes in pretty early, and
Yeah.
then we do a couple of things, and then we get Quill, And so it's, this is like the big thing that he's been leading up to. Was it just too rushed? I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't try to pad this out into two issues. I'd...
Yeah, it seems like they had enough time to do it, though perhaps there was other plans and that kind of messed it up a bit. But yeah, it seemed like they had enough space in the comic to do it for sure. But yeah.
So I'd say Angela's power didn't really do much. She
No.
had the one interview with Captain Brooklyn. That also surprised me. I thought, that, yeah, she'll do something to turn the tide or something. I think,
Yeah, it's multiple times kind of like setting up like, all right, here is Judgmental, like he's the big bad and the boss, and like, oh, okay, just kind of wasted him, like, which is okay, is like that's kind of like a shock thing. But the same thing with Captain Brooklyn, like, all right, who's this guy? You know, he seems really powerful, and like he seems like he's gonna really throw down, and it's like, nope, stabbed him in the heart. Like, nope, he's dead. And hey, if they made a hole in his chest, wouldn't the explosion have went through that? It's a good thing there's no more letters pages for this thing.
The three, Miriam, Chauncey, and Rudy. I mean, we
Yeah.
laughed at how useless Rudy was. Chauncey doesn't have powers, and Miriam's, I
Right.
mean,
Her
she
powers, that's
hasn't done
not any
anything
good
useful
here.
in, yeah.
But like they never seem to take it seriously either. It's like, hey, this is fun. Like they're gonna execute us.
Yeah, tonal shifts in that. Yeah, that's what it is. It's like, ah, what the hell? This is disgusting. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. The NSC was like, these are their paranormals. They suck.
Yeah.
And it's a whole department that is maybe now also gone, or at least its paranormal division is. I don't know. I
Right.
actually don't know if any of the others are going to stay up in Coney Island. I'm going to assume not. Chauncey went back to DC, so
Right.
probably.
But I mean, we didn't really even get closure of whether or not Phoenix is going to stay. Like, they just kiss and that's it, kind of thing. I mean, not
I
that it
will.
matters, I suppose, but.
I'll say that, like, I was happily surprised that Kleenex and Angela resolved a bit there. I'll say that I'll okay, they get together and he stays there. It's honestly, I'm not sure that it's a happy ending for her to stay there.
No.
But it's like, oh,
Post-apocalyptic Coney Island.
exactly, yeah. If this was the whole new universe kind of winding down into Mad Max zone, okay, but
Yeah, well, they did
it
a
doesn't.
terrible job of like really showing us that, right? So like yeah, Coney Island's empty, but I mean, it's off. It could be off season and there's nobody there, kind of thing. No big deal. And like the whole ash cloud, cities evacuating stuff, right? But, you know, in DP7, they're hanging out in diners and, you know, it's just kind of like a slightly trashier version of 80s NYC. So, like, if they had this grand idea that the pit smoking pit volcano was really ruining things, like, we never really saw that. They kind of talked about it more than we ever really saw it. So.
Yeah, we just got hints. I think the New York in DP7 versus the New York in Justice. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's
Well, the New York and DP7, they have an artist who can have the time to fill in the background details, where like in here it's just we don't really get much.
Yeah, so they're, I don't know, they're the Morlocks, let's call them, from the X-Men, everyone's sort of underground, and the not photogenic one
Yeah.
in Paranormals and all that. I'm not sure, Justice is actually more like a medieval aristocracy, setting
Yeah.
himself up. Which, yeah, if you have complete societal collapse or like a subculture that's completely disconnected from the main culture, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, it's really, yeah, like him kind of want going off into the sunset, like, well, I'll continue my journey or something like that. I would have honestly been happier with probably
Yeah,
as
or even
a
if you like hung it up, it's like,
at
I'm just
least one.
gonna, see Jenny through college and, be a regular guy and stop killing and something like that. Like, that would
Get
have
a
been
desk
something.
job back in DC. That's where it's at.
I
Yeah,
find that cowboy hat that he lost in that one issue.
is so yeah, am I happy with how justice goes here?
No.
Ah, very ambivalent about it, honestly. I actually, thinking back, there was the Justice Brigade, was it?
Yeah.
And it, like, there was something about like him not wanting to be a leader, and it's like, maybe you should be a leader, but I'm not sure this is it, the answer to that sort of suggestion either. I don't.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't really like the Lord of the Freaks sort of ending. Like, it just doesn't sit right, I guess. But
Yeah, Captain Brooklyn was more like something out of Garth Ennis or something, that like a writer who's not very secretly hates superheroes.
yeah.
Don't go too dark, dude. It's not great.
And Seraph, I suppose, like early Seraph seemed like he was kind of a good guy. Like, and then there was that kind of like they had opposing missions, but maybe he wasn't so bad. But like here he's just kind of bloodthirsty, even though he's like talking as if like you're the bad one, I'm the good one kind of thing.
I mean, he and Judge Mental always being like, we're the good guys. We protect paranormals. Oh, let's kill some paranormals here. Yeah, no, I don't.
Yeah, they didn't. I guess that whole thing wasn't quite framed out well either, right? It's all they did really was killing, you know?
So, I don't know. We never, figured out like how they helped Quill. Or very much of why the
Yeah.
future woman told them justice was going to come and kill them at some point, and so they decided to strike first. Okay,
Yeah.
that's about all I can tell you.
Yeah.
Let's see. So yeah, the characters and where they end up. Justice, very ambivalent. You
Yeah.
don't like at all.
No, not a fan.
Angela, I like her and Kleenex getting together.
Do
I'm
you?
glad that they took that, at least that storyline. Because like la last issue or two, it seemed like they were just gonna, she was just gonna fly off. And Kleenex, who's that? I don't know. Did I
Yeah,
know a guy named Kleenex?
I never saw much chemistry with that relationship. It just seemed kind of random, and I mean, again, maybe they're not the easiest thing to do in a comic book, but yeah, not my favorite. I mean, Angela's kind of boring, I guess, just character-wise. Like, she peaked with that issue where she had all of the guys rise from the grave and kill Quill, and like that was awesome, and then. Never,
Yeah,
she was never interesting before that nor after
don't
that.
stick around. Yeah, don't. You've made your greatest hits already. I don't know the rest of the NSC. Terrence Updike, I'm kind of surprised again. He's like, I
Yeah,
think
he's alive but out of the picture.
it's a good question if we'll see either him or Mac Browning in the war. I would have expected,
Yeah,
but.
I guess probably not Updike at this rate, but maybe still hope for Mac Browning.
So yeah, and I don't know, do we care about the others?
Yeah. This, I mean, the book is Justice, right? Everybody else is decidedly a side character, right?
That's true. You could absolutely get an entirely new supporting cast each time a new writer takes over.
So technically, I mean, though not really technically, I suppose, Justice does show up again in Spider-Man 2099. Kind of, sort of.
That is the weirdest thing for me, that looking at this and It doesn't seem like Peter David really is in love with the character or even really gets
No,
inside of him very much.
but
And
apparently
yet.
he's really hung on to him. Yeah, I looked it up real quick and it was like tw Spider-Man 2099, his appearances are issue like 12, 13, 14, 25, and then 40 through 44. So I'd be curious if I can dollar bin find Spider-Man 2099 number 12 and see what it looks like.
We'll report back if we I'm not sure we will continue the new universe into its random
Yeah, I think they're technically like parallel universe versions of the character or something. I don't know.
That's probably a reasonable way of looking at it. Okay, yeah, I don't know. It's is it for a grade?
The pits.
I would also give this the pits.
Yeah,
It's
C minus.
about, yeah, the story just kind of peters out and the art makes it hard to read.
Yeah. So what are we like? One out of four for enjoying last issues of new universe titles?
I was thinking the
This one makes Star Brand 19 look better.
It went out the way it came in. Muddy, disjointed. I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, this is the last regular issue of the new universe that came out.
That's true. And
Oh.
the war is, it really kind of feels like it's going to be its own little thing. So this is definitely
Yeah.
the end.
This is the end.
Tear rolls down cheek.
It's hard to believe, but
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like it feels like everyone just like left a day early. You know what I mean? This company is closing down.
Like the
You're up to
last
the
day
end of
of
the month, and it's
school, and
like,
like you're not going to give a test or anything.
yeah, you're just okay, guys. There it is. It exists.
Yeah. I guess that kind of sucks, right? Like this is a terrible end to the whole new universe, right? Like of all these issues.
I mean, we like the DP7. We were okay with Psi-Force. I think you were less happy with it than I was.
Yeah, I wasn't a huge fan.
Starbrand was, I argue, vociferously against a lot of the stuff in that.
Starbrand I thought was an interesting ending, but like, you know, it was only felt good because the stuff before it was so bad.
That's part two. I think, yeah, the new universe appears to have limped across the finish line. The
Yeah.
last few storylines were
Oh,
troublesome.
what was the trash guy, the guy in the NSC that got his like head blown off? He was just like smelly garbage man. Oh,
Oh,
name. Shoot.
Creepin' Crud.
Creeping crud. Yeah, it creeped across like the threshold, like creeping crud. Yeah, the issue where like he kind of last gasp dragged himself into the building so they could close the door, but it was really Angela's powers raising the dead kind of thing. Like that's the end of the new universe. Like the creeping crud somehow making it across the finish line.
I think let's leave it there. So yeah, that's perfect. And that's it for this week's episode. Next time we start something new with our long-promised prestige format crossover and the last title, the new you, The War.
And so this is the first I know anything about this book. The War Limited Series number one. The final saga of the new universe starts here. The world is poised on the brink of nuclear war for some reason. America sends its special paranormal fighting force to South Africa, in a desperate covert operation to stop the Holocaust? Like what?
You're a
Mission
little late there, buddy.
impossible? Mobilization. Mobile is written by Doug Murray and drawn by Tom Morgan. 48 pages. Oh my. Hudson Paper. What is this?
Hudson Paper.
What?
Now we're talking.
A new universe graphic album. Direct sales only $3.50.
I have to bike across town for
I'm
$4 for
so
a book.
confused.
What's the confusing part?
I don't know, Hudson Paper, Holocaust, South Africa. What's happening?
I don't know. South Africa was a popular villain in the 80s. I don't know.
I
It
guess.
was
Who were we at
more
nuclear
in
war
the
with?
news back then. Who? Yeah, which side are we on? I don't know. So yeah, there was a war article in Marvel Age 74 that sort of had a couple of pages talking about it. I don't know. I'll sh ship that up to you when I get a chance. But
Yeah.
we're counting down to the end. There's just the four comics to go, and that's all the war miniseries, all the regular series have concluded. We are still going at our website, kickersinks.com. And if you would like to email us with some comments of your own, we are at newuniversepodcast@gmail.com. This has been the voice of the new universe, and we will see you back at the spinner rack.
Don't let the new universe die.
It was only supposed to make a buzzing noise.
As one would expect, his brain was somewhat scrambled. What
They're making those stupid faces again.
do you mean, defunct?